This story is titled Tucker, the Dog That Saved Christmas. Unbeknownst to most people, the innkeeper in Bethlehem had a little dog named Tucker. Tucker's main job at the inn was to get rid of the mice, rats, and bugs that tried to make the motel their home. It was a big job for a little dog, but Tucker was very vigilant. In an average week, he'd kill 3 mice, 1 rat, and 100 different bugs and beetles. Locusts were his favorite. They had a very special crunch to them whenever he bit into one. One chilly night, a young couple came to the inn looking for a room. Unfortunately, all the rooms were full, and the young lady was obviously very near the time to deliver a baby. The innkeeper was very apologetic, but there didn't seem to be anything he could do. Desperate for some sort of a solution, he said, "I hate to even offer you such a thing, but our stable is out back, and we have a very good stable cleaner, a little fellow everyone calls Stinky Levi. He was due to clean it out this evening. No doubt he's done his usual fine job. It will provide some protection from the elements." With nowhere else to go, and Mary's contractions coming ever closer, the innkeeper led them around back through a very narrow opening into the stable. As he had hoped, the innkeeper found it freshly cleaned with a new layer of straw on the floor and a soft layer of hay in the manger. He carried a small lamp along with some pillows and a couple of blankets. Setting the lamp on a shelf, along with a little jug of oil to help feed the lamp through the night, and the bedding on a small table, he said, "I'm sorry I've nothing better, but I do hope that these will make it a little more comfortable for you." Tucker had followed them into the little barn. Once they were settled in with a few of the blankets laid out on the freshly laid straw, the innkeeper called for Tucker to follow him out, but the dog sat down. When the fellow called him again, Tucker laid down and let out a little whimper. "Oh, you're right, boy," said the man. "Maybe you better stay here tonight to guard our guests." Tucker sat up and wagged his tail, short as it was. After his owner left, the pup smelled something familiar. It wasn't a sheep. It wasn't a donkey. Why, it was his old friend, Stinky Levi. "Stinky Levi is in here somewhere," he said to himself. He sniffed around a little more and found him asleep in a corner. "That's strange," he thought. And although his instinct was to pounce on him and slather him with doggy kisses, he decided to let the poor boy sleep. Grabbing an extra blanket by the corner, he pulled it over until it covered Levi's legs. Without waking up, the boy pulled it up over his shoulders, and a smile of comfort crossed his lips. Turning his attention back to the young couple, Tucker could hear them talking about their long journey and how special this baby was. "Son of the Most High," they said, "Deliverer of Israel, King of the world." Mary groaned, and Joseph held her close. She changed positions 1,000 times, and her husband tried his best to readjust the blankets and the pillows. Mary dozed off for a few moments, and Joseph looked as though he might be losing it. Tucker walked up behind Joseph's arm and licked the back of his hand. Joe scooped him up in his arms and held him tight. Tucker licked his neck, then relaxed against his chest. A strange calm crept into the man's soul. Mary groaned, and Joseph set the dog down to attend to his wife. For the next few hours, that scene repeated itself several times. Joseph would become nervous. Tucker would comfort him. Joseph would attend to Mary. Once Joseph nodded off, and Tucker curled up close to Mary, who found an odd sense of relief rubbing his ears between her fingertips. Once when a contraction hit, she squeezed a little too hard on his ear, but Tucker just gritted his teeth until the pain passed, both for Mary and for himself. Finally, the baby was born, a beautiful baby boy. They wrapped him in some strips of cloth after cleaning him and feeding him. Then they settled him in for a nice nap, laying him in the manger filled with fresh, soft hay. Their serene moment was interrupted by a small boy walking in from outside. "Micah, Joseph and Mary said together. The night before, the couple had met Micah out tending sheep as they passed by on their way to Bethlehem. They'd ask if he had any water to spare, and he drew fresh water from a well for each of them, including their donkey. He even shared his bread. They laughed when they recalled telling him they hoped to see him again someday. And now, the very next night, here he was. Micah invited some other shepherds in who had been standing outside. Together, they told of how the sky above them lit up with angels who announced the birth of this Savior child. Joseph and Mary responded by sharing their own angelic encounters. Everyone was so delighted and excited. They learned that Micah was an orphan, raised by shepherds after his own parents were apparently killed by some raiders. Micah thrilled at the fact that Jesus was born in order to make us all a part of God's family. He'd never been a part of a family before, but now felt like a very special member. Indeed, he felt as if he'd had a personal invitation to this very holy moment. Tucker had barked at the shepherds when they entered, letting them know no one was getting anywhere near this baby without his permission. Joseph reassured the dog that everything was fine. Even so, Tucker sat next to the manger and jumped up against anyone who got too close, as if to push them back. You can never be too careful with newborns, he thought. Heaven only knows where these shepherds have been, what they've been exposed to. Mary offered for Micah to come and join their little family, and Joseph quickly agreed, saying he'd make a fine big brother for the Messiah. Just then, Levi came staggering out of the corner, rubbing his eyes. He'd been listening to all that was being said, but now he fell to his knees in front of the Christ child with a look of awe and wonder on his face. In fact, his eyes filled with tears. Tucker noticed a shiver run through the boy and a look of fear. The dog's instinct was to run over and reassure his friend, but something held him back. Levi continued to stare at the child, and as he did, he became calm once more. Tenderness and love replaced the look of fear. A smile broke out on Levi's face as he started to stand up. He just met the very Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Prince of Peace. Micah walked over and said, "Hi, I'm Micah." Levi said, "I'm Levi. I clean barns. Everyone calls me Stinky Levi." "I can smell why," said Micah. "But then I don't have any room to talk myself. I can't remember the last time I've had a bath." "Yeah, we could call you Stinky Micah," said Levi. "No thanks," said Micah, as they both laughed out loud. "So will you be staying with us?" Mary asked. That's the best offer I've ever had," replied Micah. "But I now know what I'm supposed to do with the rest of my life. I'm supposed to tell everyone I meet about what I saw here tonight. We now have a Savior, and nothing will ever be the same again. I truly hope to stay in touch and visit with you from time to time, but I need to be about my Heavenly Father's business." Micah looked over and saw Brutus, the biggest and gruffest of the shepherds, sobbing like a baby. "What's wrong, Brutus?" he asked.
"That's the most wonderful, selfless thing I've ever heard," replied Brutus. "I'm sorry I never noticed what a fine young man you've become. If you're okay with it, I'd love to be your partner in spreading this good news."
"Wow, for sure," said Micah. Just before they left, Micah leaned over and said to Mary, "This is very strange, but your newborn baby smells just like a newborn lamb." She winked at him and said, "Actually, that makes perfect sense." Micah wasn't sure what she meant, but figured that maybe one day he would understand. As suddenly as the shepherds had appeared, they were gone, making quite a ruckus as they exited to tell the world about this wonderful encounter. The room grew calm and quiet. It amazed Levi how much light that little lamp on the shelf was producing. He thought to himself, "It's a silent night, a holy night. All is calm, all is bright." In actuality, not all was as calm as it appeared. A nasty old rat had snuck into the stable. The smell of blood from the birth had drawn him. That rat had smelled the blood, and now Tucker smelled that rat. The dog snapped to attention as if he'd been struck by lightning, and he started to growl low and mean. "What is it, boy?" Levi asked. Tucker didn't respond. He just put his nose to the ground and began to sniff. He looked off into one corner. Levi followed his gaze and saw some of the straw on the floor move. Again he asked, "What is it, boy?" "Do you know what Tucker said?" "Bark, bark." What else would a dog say? With that, he tore off in the direction of the moving straw, took a mighty leap into the air, and pounced on the rat hidden beneath. There was a great struggle. Sometimes Tucker was on top biting the rat, and sometimes the rat was on top biting Tucker. Levi picked up his pitchfork and tried to spear the rat, but he was afraid of hitting the dog instead. Back and forth they tussled. Tucker was growling. The rat was making some sort of strange noise that sounded like a rusty gate swinging shut. Mary clutched her baby close and said, "Joseph, do something." Joseph stood ready to smack the rat with a shovel if it came close to them. Tucker let out a great yelp as the rat sunk its teeth into his leg. Most dogs would have run for their life, but not this dog, not this night, not while he was protecting the most precious child ever born. No, sir, not this dog, not on his watch. The pain sent a shot of adrenaline through the little pup. His eyes glowed red. His growl became deeper, and his jaws clamped down on that rat's neck. There was a loud snap as Tucker shook the rat back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Finally, he released the lifeless body onto the straw. Levi scooped it up with his pitchfork and took it outside. That was the biggest rat he'd ever seen. Tucker limped across the straw and collapsed. Mary handed the baby to Joseph and tenderly picked up the pup. She washed the wound on his paw and cradled him in her arms. Then she prayed, "Oh, God, please don't let this little guardian die. He put himself between that rat and your son." A moment later, Tucker was as alert as ever, taking up his position beside the manger once again. Joseph and Mary, as well as the baby, were able to sleep soundly the rest of the night, knowing they had a visible guardian as well as many invisible ones around and about. The next day, the innkeeper told Joseph that he had a cousin who owned a little house in the city he was looking to rent out. It needed some repairs, but said he'd be willing to reduce the rent if whoever moved in was willing to work on it. "It just so happens," said Joseph, "I'm a carpenter by trade." "Wonderful," said the innkeeper. "I'll take you over to see the place this afternoon." Levi went along with the young couple, to look at the house. There was no way Mary could ride the donkey after having had the baby, and she wasn't strong enough for a walk that long just yet. Levi cleaned his cart and laid a blanket on top of a fresh layer of hay so she and the baby could ride a little more comfortably. Tucker rode along in the cart since his paw was still smarting from his battle with the rat. The house was in really rough shape. Ordinarily, no one would move into a place like that, but it was a definite improvement over the stable. The innkeeper's cousin agreed to let them live there rent-free if Joseph could get the place looking respectable. Every day after cleaning his barns, Levi would stop by to help Joseph with the repairs. They fixed the front door, cleaned everything, repaired the broken windows, and put a fresh coat of paint inside and out. After a month of hard work, the house looked so nice, the owner wanted to charge double what he had originally wanted to get out of it, but the innkeeper made him keep his word and allow Joseph and his family to live there rent-free, not just while they worked on it, but for the first 6 months. During that time, Joseph gained a reputation around the neighborhood and secured enough work to feed and clothe his family. Tucker often visited to scan the house and shed for rodents and insects. He was out patrolling the grounds one night as the family was in the house. Life was going pretty well for them. Joseph looked over at Mary and said, "This raising the Savior of the world thing isn't as hard as I thought it would be." They both had a good laugh over that one. Just then, they heard some commotion outside. Tucker was barking at something. Joseph opened the door to behold an amazing sight. There was a royal caravan parked in their courtyard, complete with dudes in fancy robes and camels wearing expensive decorations. He saw the men huddled around Levi, who obviously had their attention. One of the fellows was bent down scratching Tucker behind his ears. The dog's back legs started thumping the ground as he leaned into the stranger's kindness. Then, noticing Joseph, the men all rushed over. "Is it true?" asked Casper. "Is this where the young king lives?" The question startled Joseph at first, but he soon stammered out, "Yes. We've brought gifts and have come from afar to worship and thank God for this wonderful revelation of his mercy and grace," said Belshazzar. "May we see the child?" "Of course," said Joseph, standing aside so the visitors could crowd into the little house. Just before he stepped inside himself, he noticed Levi still standing near the shed. "You might as well come on in too," he said. "Oh, I don't belong under the same roof as rich people like that," said Levi. "Maybe not," Joseph said, "but you belong with us." Levi felt all warm and happy as he ran to catch up to the visitors. Once inside, he saw the fancy foreigners kneeling down in front of the baby Jesus. They said they'd come this whole way just to worship him. They began to speak wonderful blessings over the child and continually thanked God for sending him. Finally, they opened up beautiful chests full of expensive gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. A wonderful fragrance filled the room. Meanwhile, Levi had slipped out earlier and made sure that all the camels got a good drink of water. When one of the delightful strangers came out to find Levi taking care of their animals, he was very appreciative and handed Levi a coin, a gold coin. As Levi reached out to accept it, it felt heavy in his hand. "Oh, sir," he said, "you don't owe me nothing." The man smiled and said, "Young man, you are very humble, but also very special. I'm not giving this to you because of the work you did for us, but because I just saw the King of Kings, and I have to share my joy with someone." "Well, if it makes you happy," said Levi. "That it does, son, that it does," the man replied as he mounted his camel. A little prince that had come along with the Magi, named Oshi, stood in the corner while the men had presented their gifts and worshiped the child. When most everyone else had gone back outside, he approached the baby. There in that room was the special presence he'd felt out in the desert under the star-filled sky. It was a godly presence, holy. "I don't understand," Oshi said to Mary. "Where are all his servants? Why is he here in a place like this? Shouldn't he be in a palace?" "Oh, this is no ordinary king," said Mary. "This is the very Son of God. He has come to save us from our sins, to turn our hearts from selfishness and pride to humility and love. This little child will save the world from itself. Would you like to hold him?" I'm not worthy," Oshi muttered as he dropped to his knees. Jesus looked at him and smiled. He'd never be the same again. Reaching up, he pulled the little crown off his head and laid it in front of the Christ child. "This belongs to you," he said. Sliding the bracelets off his wrists and rings from his fingers, he laid them down too. Finally, he reached for his sword, unclipped it from his belt, and laid it down also. With tears in his eyes and a smile stretching from ear to ear, he walked out of the house. His eyes met Levi's. Levi said, "He smiled at you, didn't he?" "Yep," is all Oshi could say as he walked across the yard to embrace Levi. When Benjamin saw that, do you know what he said? "Of course, what else would a donkey say?" In the morning, Caspar said he'd had a dream where God warned him not to return to report to King Herod as he'd requested them to. The others had the exact same dream, so they packed up and headed for home by a different route than the one they had come. Later that week, Levi returned to clean the shed, and he found the young couple hastily gathering their things. "What's up?" Levi asked. "Shh," said Joseph, "keep your voice down. Last night, that same angel that told me to marry Mary warned me that King Herod is after Jesus. He told me to take my family elsewhere for a while. I can't tell you where, or you might be in danger too." "Gosh," said Levi, "how are you going to take all those great gifts along that the rich strangers gave you?" "I don't know," said Joseph. "I've been packing and repacking our donkey, but I don't think she can carry it all. I'd leave it all behind, but I think we're going to need those gifts to help finance our journey and set up a business wherever it is we land." "Maybe she can't carry it, but I know she can pull it," said Levi. "Well, you're right, of course," said Joseph, "but I have no time to look for a cart, and I don't know of anyone looking to sell one." "Take mine," said Levi. "It's clean and has a fresh bed of straw. I was going to use it in your barn." "Levi, that's very kind of you, but you use your cart for your business. Without it, you'll be out of a job, and then how are you going to help your family?" asked Mary. "I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work out. I just know that it's what God would want me to do," said Levi, as he unhitched Benjamin from his little wagon. "I don't see as we have much choice," said Joseph, and they all began loading the supplies into the cart. Mary kissed Levi on the forehead, and they left down the street. As they passed out of sight, Levi never felt so lonely in all his life. He started trudging his way home with Benjamin following close behind as tears ran down his cheeks. "What am I going to do now?" he said out loud. "Mary was right. How am I going to explain to my dad about the cart? How's my family going to get enough to eat when I can't clean barns anymore because I don't have a wagon? Lord, I need a cart." Just then Benjamin nudged him from behind. "What'd you do that for?" asked Levi. "Do you know what Benjamin said?" "Of course. What else would a donkey say?" Then Benjamin motioned with his head as if to say, "Look over there." Not far off the road was a newer, larger cart than the one Levi had just given away, and it had a for sale sign on it. "Wow," said Levi, "that's the nicest cart I've ever seen. I could clean several barns in a row with that much room. But where in the world would I ever get enough money to buy something like that?" Benjamin reached down and nudged Levi's hip with his nose. "What'd you do that for?" said Levi. Then Benjamin nudged him again in the very same spot. "Stop that, you silly donkey." Finally, Benjamin reached out his long, sticky tongue, put it right into Levi's pocket, and pulled out the gold coin he'd been given by the rich visitor. Levi couldn't believe his eyes. "I'm an idiot," he said. "I forgot all about that money." Benjamin shook his head up and down. "I'm sorry, boy," said Levi. "Let's buy us a new cart." Not only was the coin valuable enough to buy the cart, Levi had enough money left over to buy some additional supplies, some flowers for his mother, and a big roast they could share for dinner. Levi took the bone that was in the center of the roast over to the inn to give to Tucker. The dog was sad that his friends had moved away, but chewing on that bone helped ease his grief. He was also a little relieved. Guarding two properties had been a bit much for him. From now on, he'd settle into the life of an innkeeper's dog, greeting guests and keeping pests away. When his dad asked Levi how he got enough money to pay for the cart and their little feast, Levi simply said, "I gave Jesus my little old wagon, and he gave me all of this and so much more. I guess it's just like they say, you can't outgive the Lord."